like God gives us so much.
So we start, and all of a sudden the devil shows up.
Oh, Pastor Bestaway, I need another conference. Give me another seminar. So now I just equip you with like laser beams and machine guns and Uzis. It's linked to your head, so all you gotta do is blink and it goes. Okay, I'm gonna really work for the Lord now. I'm the devil. Oh, I need more.
Well, if you're wondering what that was all about, stay tuned. Pastor Wayne is on a roll. Aloha and welcome to Words of New Hope. If you've ever had a desire to serve God but didn't know where to begin, or maybe the task just seemed overwhelming, now today Pastor Wayne will show you how to get the wheels in motion. It's part two of a message entitled, When It's Time to Grow, and that'll be coming up in just a moment. But first, we're going to take you into Farrington High for a few minutes of worship.
Oh Lord, we love you. In this morning of joy, we may also experience sorrows, but we will worship you. In times of helplessness, Lord, we will still worship you. Let's sing to our Lord.
I know that you are strong. I know you're more than able to save me from whatever ever comes my way. I know you are a healer. I know you can deliver. Rescue me. Oh, but even when I cannot see your hand, when you move it away that I would not have planned, Lord, still I will worship you. I will worship you.
When I'm in the fire, I will worship you.
Here now is Pastor Wayne with the message, When It's Time to Grow.
Here's the best advice that I kind of made as a motto of my life, and I want to share it with you. You catch this, it's worth it all. Here it is. Where do you start? Write this in that little bullet. Start small, but start now. If you'll just catch this, it'll help you immensely. Start small, but start now. I remember looking at my sermon saying, oh man, I gotta preach, and I gotta do 5 services, and I gotta do this conference. Oh, it's so overwhelming. And I would wait till the night before, and then I'd just be I'd be a wreck. And the Lord, I remember when I learned this thing, he said, start small, but start now. Be like on Monday morning before the weekend, start small, but start now. Like write one letter of the message, just I, you know. Good, go home now. All right, but do it now. Start now. There's some of you, you come into this new year, it's January, and you say, my resolution this year is to lose weight. It's been my resolution for the last 22 years, but it's mine again. But you haven't started. Why? Well, because I gotta lose 40 pounds, and man, I gotta walk like 500 miles for that to happen. That's just too much, it's too overwhelming. Start small, but start. Here's what I tell. You go home, put on your tennis shoes. Don't walk 500 miles. Don't walk around the world. Walk around your house. That's good. And then that's it. Take your tennis shoes off. Really? Oh, why? Because like tomorrow, you'll do the same. Start small, but start now. Put your tennis shoes on. And that's tomorrow, you'll walk around the house like 1.5 times and come through the back door. Because the next day you'll go 2 times, and then you'll be going around the block, because you see, starting is half battle. Just starting. So you got to start small, but start now. You say, well, where do we start in the church? Start by going to our website, enewhope.org, and go to Ohana. It says New to New Hope, and it says, where can I serve? How do I start? Click on that. All kinds of stuff comes down. Just do that. When you leave this place, we look at this campus that we have the privilege of stewarding, and there's all kinds of papers around. Start by like not cleaning up the campus. Just pick up one piece of paper before you go home. Just one. Just not 5, just one. And put it in the rubbish can. Just one. That's all. But you see, if we all do that, we've cleaned the campus. See, start small, but start now. Don't wait. Start now. Oh, I gotta do some exercise. I gotta get in shape. But oh man, I go into the gym. It's like 1,000,000 pounds of weights everywhere. Where do you start? Put on your tennis shoes. Go to the gym. Start small, but start now. So you just start small. Go to the gym. Lift like your water bottle 2 times, and then go home. And I tell you, it'll start a snowball effect. Start small, but start now. You got to start now. That's the big thing. And as you do, you'll be surprised. Just doors start opening up. Because sometimes we say, well, I can't dance and I can't sing. I got to have more seminars. I got to pray about this. No, just pick up a piece of paper. Well, let me pray about it first. Let me pray. You know what I'm going to say? Stop praying. Stop. There's people that pray as an excuse so they don't have to do anything. No, go to the hospital, visit. Let me pray about whether I should go first. Shut up, go. You say, well, that's pretty unspiritual, Wayne. God said the same thing. He felt the same way. The people came up to the Red Sea, and the Lord said, cross the Red Sea. You know what they said? We need to pray about this. We need to pray about it. Listen to what God says to Moses. Let's read the scripture. Go. The Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the people, get moving. I just love the Lord. Yeah, the Lord says, stop praying, get moving. And you know, sometimes we just need to get moving. No, I got to pray about it. No. Oh, you know, the guy could be on the bus. You know, oh God, please, Lord, I pray that you'll help me to minister to some people. And if this person right next to me, Lord, this person's not a Christian. Lord, give me a sign that you want me to share with them. Just then the person says, man, I need to know God. I'm struggling. Immediately you go to prayer. Is this a sign?
If this is a sign, God, turn the bus driver into a yellow armadillo first, and then I'll know. It's like, God says, stop, just get moving. So a lot of times, prayer is an excuse for not having to grow, so we don't have to practice. And the Lord says, no, move. Because you see, sometimes we just need more. But the Lord is saying, I've equipped you with tons already. Go for it. Pick up paper. Do something. Start small, but start now. Remember the Indiana Jones series? I think it's the second one. His girlfriend gets kidnapped, and they're carrying her out. And she's kicking and screaming, and he's fighting all of these people, and he's trying to get his girlfriend. So he runs out, and they stuff her in this basket. And he runs out, and he looks, and there's not just one basket. There's like hundreds of baskets that look the same. And then down the road, the top comes up, Indy, Indy, and off. Oh, he's running and fighting people, and he's tipping over baskets looking for which basket is she in. And then he turns the corner in his classic Indiana Jones style, and there's this group of people facing him like this. And then all of a sudden, like the Red Sea opens. And at the end, there's this huge guy, must be 7 feet tall, all in black with, you know, niho ole teeth just all missing. And he's just suffering from a major case of ugly. And he's got this big old sword, and he whips the sword out. He looks at, you know, Indiana Jones is like, whoa, I got to get past this guy. And he's like, you try. And all of a sudden, he's like, and everyone's going, oh. And just then, he remembers, wait a minute, that guy's got a sword, but I got a gun. And so you can just see his countenance change from fear to confidence. You're like, he just kills a guy, you know. Just boom, and just the movie starts again. I'm just roaring. I'm thinking, that's just like Christians. It's like God gives us so much. And the devil of doubt, when we say, I need to start practicing stuff. I need to get involved. So we start, and all of a sudden the devil shows up. And it's like, we got everything we need. And so, oh, Pastor Bestaway, I need another conference. Give me another seminar. I gotta pray. And so we just, okay, here, you know, I give you like 5 grenades, belts of bullets. Go get them. Okay. I'm ready now. I'm gonna pick up paper now. And then all of a sudden, I need more help. Train me some more. So now I just equip you with like laser beams and machine guns and Uzis. It's linked to your head, so all you gotta do is blink and it goes. And you walk up, you could hardly walk because everything's so heavy. Okay, I'm gonna really work for the Lord now. I'm the devil. Oh, I need more. It's like, oh, the Lord is saying, stop, just go. See, start small, but start, and you have everything that you need. And God will mature you. And so often we just kind of go back, and the Lord is saying, no, you can do it. You know why? Would you write down a number 3? Because practicing and applying matures us into what He's formed us to become. Practicing and applying matures us. Paul said that. He says, hey, listen, I'm far from being perfect, but you know what I got to do? I got to press into it. I got to initiate. I got to do something with what God's taught me. Let's read what it says here. Go. Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on in order that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. You see, he's saying, I haven't become perfect yet, but I press on. I keep going, even though it's not natural yet, I practice, I press into, because in the practicing, in the serving, whether it be at home or at church, I've got to put into use what God has taught me to convert milk into muscle. And so I'm going to practice it. I'm just going to put it into use. There's going to be times where God will speak to you about love or forgiveness. You just got to practice it.
There's going to be times you're going to go home, you don't feel like loving your husband. You don't feel like being loving to your wife. But when God speaks something to you, go home, just practice. Just practice. Just go home and say, I love you. Just practice saying it. And you know, you're going to have people say, well, that is so ingenuine.
I know, but I love you.
Yeah, but it doesn't come from your heart. You don't feel it.
No, I don't. I love you.
But you say, well, that's immature. You know what God says? No, that's mature, because solid food or muscle belongs to the mature who, because of practice, are training their senses to make it more natural. Because at first, your flesh or your history will war against you saying that. But you know what I'm saying to my feelings? Shut up. To the past, be covered by the blood of Christ. And I'm going to say, I love you, because that's what God has asked me to put into practice. And I've got to do it, because I've got to mature. And I've got to perfect my heart.
Thank you.
You just practice it. Will you always like it? No. And Paul says in Galatians, it's like a birthing process. Let's read this next one. Go. My children, with whom I am again in labor until Christ is formed in you. That word formed is a Greek word, metamorphon, which is like what we have is a tennis form. When someone says, man, that tennis form that guy has is perfect. Well, how did he get that form to that perfection? What process did he go through? Well, you rewind the tape. When he was a little kid, he would watch videos and look at magazines and watch other players, and that form was in his mind. I want to be like that one day. Of course, when he goes and practices, it doesn't quite look like that form. But if he wants to get that image from the inner to that which is now reality or the outer, he has to what?
Practice.
Again and again. Even though it doesn't look real good, doesn't sound real perfect, God says that is the beginnings of a mature saint. Practice it. When you got to forgive someone, just,
I forgive you. Just forgive him.
Do you feel like it?
No, but I forgive you.
Just say it. And then it becomes more and more natural. As you do that, pretty soon God is saying, you know what's happening? There's a perfection taking place in your heart, because you're doing it because you're obeying me, not because you feel good about it. And God says, that's not the sign of an immature person. That's a sign of a mature person in the making, where you're converting milk into meat. And that which is inner image becomes outer, and it's the same. And God has put His image in each of you. He's created you in His image. He has an image of your marriage, your future as a businessman, as a husband, as a wife, as a son, as a daughter, as a grandfather. He's put that image in you. And we will become that on the outer if we put into practice what He coaches us with. And God looks at that and says, that's a mature people. You know, I drive in here on the weekends and at Wednesdays at the Sand Island place, and I look, and we've got a bunch of servants that set things up and take everything down. And I think, you know what, Lord, these people are making it possible for us to upgrade society and inspire people, because they're willing to practice whatever they're learning, just put it into use. We can sit here and receive and learn, be inspired, and go out, and we do the same at home and other places, and some here at church, wherever. But we're starting to put things into practice, because that's a part of our maturing. As we're sanding the floor, the discipline we're learning there is going to be directly applicable to our marriage, our workplace, the people, things that we have to deal with, resolving problems. That heart is what we need here. Not just skill, we need heart. And so God says, practice, and it'll perfect your heart. I look at the people that run the lights here. One of the guys works at a supermarket. That's his job. But he's learned from the ground up how to run lights. And then he's built a team. And I look at that and I think, you know what? People will be able to come here because somebody is putting into practice what God has taught them. Whether it be with sound or with children or driving shuttles or praying. Start small, but start now. Some people say, well, I can't commit every week. Once a month, once every other month, commit to pray, whatever it might be. And as we all do that, we'll clean up the campus. We'll clean up the state of Hawaii. But the church has to begin to put into use what God gives to us in our hearts. And then it's a part of us maturing, bearing fruit, and upgrading society. Even to the point where there's about three families that got together in our church and they actually bought this little Korean food processing plant. It's just a little teeny little thing that makes something called mandu. It's a Korean food thing, finger food. It's just really good. And what they decided to do was buy it, work it just for a bare cost, and any of the profits, they're putting it into a little account where they will figure out how to resource missions here in the church. And that's their project. And you know, there's going to be one day someone is going to come in heaven and say, you don't know me, but I'm from Bhutan or I'm from Nepal. And because you did that thing with that little shop, some missionary was able to be sent and they brought me the gospel. I'm here in heaven because of your mandu factory. And you think, oh, does that link up?
Mm-hmm.
Sanding the floor, eternal souls. Yep. It links up. Oh, really? This and what I've been called to be that links up? Connect the dots. Because that's not an option. That's part and parcel. Serving is every bit the exact classroom by which we mature and become fruitful. And then you have a chance to serve. You connect it with someone in heaven. And then you think, oh, wow. I can inspire people. I can ignite this community. I can see eternal results. Yep, by us serving. You'll get a chance to serve. Boy, I tell you, when you do, take it. It just may have eternal results. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so very much for helping us to be a people that have been called to serve. No, not just spectate, but to be on the playing field. But sometimes, Lord, the things that we do in serving seem so detached from the direction that we want to go and grow. But really, it's not detached at all, is it, Lord? It's right down the middle. So, Father, would you help us to be a people that have a heart to serve? Because we know that that's what you designed. Designed for us to grow so that we can ignite that which you put inside of us, and in doing so, inspire other people and see an eternal difference made. Start with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Conclusion of a message entitled When It's Time to Grow by Pastor Wayne Cordero. Thank you for listening. Now you can listen to Words of New Hope anytime on demand. Just go to www.spreaker.com and search on Words of New Hope. That's Spreaker, Spreaker.com. Stream the message or download it to your mobile device and listen on the go. And with a click of a button, you can share Words of New Hope on Facebook, Twitter, or your other social media and help us spread the good news of Jesus Christ to family and friends. That's www.spreaker.com and search on Words of New Hope. Now available 24/7, 365. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you a great day in the Lord and aloha.
I come to glorify you. Identify with you. Speak. as my own. I come to crown you King, your praises I'll sing. I choose to glorify your name. I come to crown you King, your praises I'll sing. I choose